The question is, how can you start a fitness business with no dollars? And those of you that are concerned about not having any money, or somebody said to you, you can't be successful in the fitness profession because you have to have a stack of money to open a gym, and there's too many gyms and there's too many personal trainers, and you can't be successful in the fitness profession because you just can't. The number one myth buster for tonight is that's not true. And by the time we've finished tonight's session, I think you'll be really aware of how simple it is to be financially successful in the fitness profession, to have a top level career, and to have as many opportunities as you want to create for yourself. So it's a very exciting evening. So I'd like to introduce you to the gentleman. Can everybody see the screen? Yes? Okay, so the gentleman that is on your screen, his name is Sarj. He's a gorgeous Indian man who used to be a Boilermaker, and he's now a top-level fitness professional at Snap Fitness. And as you can see, in 2016, he was the personal trainer of the year for Snap Fitness, which is a very large franchise, an international or multinational gym franchise. Most of you have either seen one or been in one or trained in one, so you know what I'm talking about. Sarge has got a beautiful wife. He's got a little gorgeous little child, and obviously his goal is to support his family and to support his child. Now he's standing inside a Snap Fitness gym, and he runs his business very successfully from inside somebody else's fitness facility. So if anybody ever tells you that you can't support your family, can't be really happy and have a career that you love inside somebody else's business, obviously I'd like to give you Sarge's number and the many other hundreds of thousands of people around the world that are doing exactly what he's doing. So the question is, why would you want to, or why would you get involved in setting up your business inside somebody else's health club or studio? And it's a really interesting question. From a business owner's point of view, so those of you that are thinking about either owning a gym or owning a personal training studio or having people work for you or with you, I find this to be a really, for me, it's a perplexing conundrum. How's that for a large number of syllables? I can never understand why a gym or a personal training studio would put other people into their business to run their own business. It's like having a McDonald's that's perfectly systemized. And I always talk about two or beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, which is exactly what McDonald's does for a Big Mac. And then they invite other people, other chefs, to come into the McDonald's and set up a hot dog stand or a kebab stand or a Chinese restaurant stand. And there's all these different things available inside the same facility. From a business point of view, it makes absolutely no sense to me why you would want all different kinds of people doing all different kinds of things inside your business. However, pretty much, and I'm going to say close enough to 100% of health clubs around the world are doing this. Very few clubs now, and I don't know any myself personally, so if you do, I'd love to know, employ people anymore to be gym instructors or to be personal trainers. They either have them on contract where there's a percentage split in the personal training, or they charge rent for the space. So what that means is there's literally hundreds and thousands of existing fitness facilities around the world right now that would love for you to come into their business. So that's really exciting if you think that people or that there isn't an opportunity for you. So first of all, a big myth to, if anybody ever tells you that you can't have a successful career in the fitness profession, fitness is very big business now. As you can see, and this is just a tiny number of the chains and large facilities and boutique facilities around the world right now. And I'll say it again, there's hundreds and thousands of health clubs that part of their profit center, or the way they make money, is to rent space to you as a fitness professional. So, and I've even got a lot of Max students, Max graduates, who are managers of health clubs, and their KPI, one of their key performance indicators, is to sell as many rental positions for personal trainers as possible. So for instance, Good Life in Australia, which is backed by the Macquarie Bank, so it's a very successful chain of health clubs. If you manage a Good Life health club, one of your KPIs is to make sure that you are consistently selling rental positions to personal trainers. So where this is really exciting is that you can literally go anywhere in the world and set up your fitness business in exactly the way you want to set it up, and literally pay not 1 cent of dollars. You don't need any money whatsoever. And not only that, these guys will give you free rent to get started. So it was funny because one of my students from here in a small country town in New Zealand, he said, I want to move to the Gold Coast. How much is it going to cost me to set up my business? I want to be involved with Good Life. And I said, what do you mean? Like, it's going to be about $300 in airfare if you get a good flight to get over there. And you could probably get a rental property to share rental for about $150 a week. And he said, no, how much will it cost me to set up my business? And the beautiful answer is nothing. Because if you are a personal qualified personal trainer, the big health clubs want you in their facility. So that's the really big thing to remember. The other thing to remember is that you're not applying for a job. You're not interviewing for a position. You're not hoping that they employ you. You are the customer. You're the one that's going to be paying the rent. So you've got more leverage in this conversation than the person who's going to put you into their gym, because they actually want your money. So again, just be really aware of that. Every gym that I've got on the screen there now, part of their profit center or part of their profit base is to rent you space as a personal trainer. So it's pretty exciting what's available to you. So why would you, rather than set up your own business, go and set up your business inside somebody else's? Now, obviously, everyone that's here tonight, we're all fully aware that if you're going to start your own fitness business commercially, you'll have to either rent or buy a space. You'll have to rent or buy equipment. You'll need accountants, lawyers, computer systems, tax systems. Everything about setting up a business usually costs money. If you go and set up your business inside somebody else's, you don't have to pay any money at all. And I'll give you the range. Every health club that I deal with at the moment will give you free rent to start. So it's usually 4 weeks for free. Then the next 4 weeks is usually half rent. And then it goes to full rent. And I always get really fascinated by personal trainers who whine at me. And they're average personal trainers, by the way, who whine and say, oh, but the gym takes $200 or $300 of my money every week. What's really awesome about this process is that for $300, and that's the top end, I don't know any gyms that are charging more than $300 a week. For $300 a week, you can walk into a facility. There's already a building. There's already an existing culture of personal training. There's already an existing team. So if you're the kind of person that doesn't like to work by yourself and you like to be involved with the team, there's usually a personal training team and a team of people working there already. There's already existing members. The really exciting thing for me is there's non-attending and cancelled members. Every health club, the bigger the health club, the better. Because the bigger the health club, the more people have joined that club and stopped coming, or joined that club and cancelled their membership, which we're going to talk a little bit later on about how awesome that is and your opportunities on how to start your business, particularly with those people. You don't have to rent or buy the building, obviously. The equipment's already there. A lot of health clubs already have childcare. They've already got reception and administration, so you don't have to do any of that. They'll look after the money and just give you your money at the end of the day or at the end of the week. Obviously, there's toilets. There's usually cleaners. There's group classes. There's a place for you to train people, and you actually don't have to do anything. I will share with you, if I was starting again, and this opportunity was never available to me when I started 30 odd years ago, but this is how I would do it. I would go into the biggest club possible, and I would get my 4 weeks rent free, and I would start my business. I think this is a really awesome way to be a personal trainer, to be a fitness professional. So there's some of the reasons why you would do it. Now, purely from a business point of view, whether you start your own business commercially, whether you're going to work in somebody else's facility, whether you're going to be self-employed, whether you're going to be a boot camp instructor, doesn't matter. There's these three really important questions that you need to ask before you decide what you're going to do. So for all of us here tonight, you have to be able to give a very specific answer to these questions if you want to have a really focused and successful business. And the first thing is, who do you actually want your clients to be? Who's your specific target market? And I know that we go through this quite often, but you can't market the same way to everybody. The interesting thing about going into a fitness facility where there's already members, you might say, well, I just want to have all the members that are training at this health club. However, there'll be days of the week that you don't want to work. There'll be hours that you don't want to work. You might want to specifically train women. You might specifically want to train more mature people. You might specifically want to train people who are overweight. And one of the things about being part of a personal training team is if you have a specialization, which is the next question, what do you want to specialize in? Do you want to be known as the sports-specific trainer at that health club? Do you want to be known as the person who focuses on people over 50? Do you want to focus on people who want to lose weight? Do you want to focus on children? What do you want to be known as? Because the more you can specialize in a big facility, the bigger the facility, the better if you have a specialization. So who do you want to train? What do you want to specialize in? And then this beautiful question that's the simple business question for everybody, which is how much do you want to earn? And I'm covering all of this because before you choose a facility or before you choose to open a business, this is the reason you go into business. So you can choose your own hours, be your own boss, and earn the amount of money that you want to earn. And now, as a personal trainer in a big facility, you really need to get these numbers sorted before you choose the facility that you want to go into, and of course, before you choose the business that you want to go into. So it's easy to say, well, money's not important to me, but we all know that we can't live without it. So you just have to work out how much money is important to you and what do you need to earn to have a life that you feel really safe and secure, that you don't have to be thinking about where's my next dollar coming from. Because that's how most people live. They're constantly concerned about how will I pay the bills, how will I pay the rent, how will I pay my car payment. And the reason you're going into business is so you don't have to live like that anymore. So that you've got a life of abundance, a life that you're not thinking constantly, how do I pay my bills? So once you've worked out how much you want to earn per week, per hour, per year, you then work out how much time out of your 168 hours every week or your 24 hours every day or your 12 months every year that you actually want to invest in your business. So how many hours do you want to work? Now, the interesting thing now with the 24-hour facilities, and most health clubs now are all open 24 hours, is that you can literally pick and choose exactly when you want to work. So if you're a late night person, you could absolutely start work at 9 o'clock at night and work through till 3 o'clock in the morning if that's what you really like to do. If you really like to get up early, you could start training people at 3 o'clock in the morning, finish at 9 o'clock in the morning and have the rest of the day free. It's really amazing how now you have so much opportunity from an hour's point of view. So once you've decided how much you want to earn and how many hours, days, months or out of a year that you want to work, you'll actually know now how much to charge. And you need to know that before you go and look at a facility, because a lot of facilities will either have a minimum amount that you can charge, or they'll have a maximum amount you can charge, or they'll take a percentage. So some places will say, yes, we're going to charge you $200 a week rent. You can charge as much as you want or as little as you want. And other facilities will say, we're going to take a 40% percentage of what you're earning or a 50% percentage. And a lot of clubs do it in all different ways. But be aware that the number one important person here is you. It's not about what everybody else tells you should do or what you should do. You decide how much money do I want to earn and how many hours do I want to put into my passionate business that I'm really excited about every week. And that will then give you an idea of what's or who's the best facility for you is going to be. So once you've made those decisions, you might say to yourself, look, the hassle of starting my own business and renting my own property and buying equipment and getting a lawyer and getting an accountant, it's all too much hassle for me. I'm going to look for a gym where I can rent some space, or I'm going to look for a gym that they're prepared to put me on their team for a percentage of the people that I train. So how do you choose which one? And there's literally, as I shared, hundreds and thousands of them around the world. So obviously the location's really important. You might want to be in the CBD of a city because that's where your target market is. You want to train corporate people. Or you might want to be out in the suburbs because that's where the mums are. You might want something really close to your home so you don't have to drive anywhere. I speak to a lot of personal trainers in Auckland who they just absolutely hate having to get on the motorway. They've been doing that as a lawyer or an accountant or a bank manager, and they don't want to do it anymore. So they want to find a facility that's really close to where they live so they can just walk. You want to have a look at the number of members at the facility. And there's two different thought spaces here. If it's the start of the gym's just opened and they're growing, you might want to be part of that growth. So they mightn't have very many members, but you want to be part of growing the number of members, which means you'll be growing the number of people that have personal trainers. And those of you that are taking notes tonight, there's some very strong numbers I'd like to share with you on this. It's very clear across the world that regardless of the number of members that you have in your health club, somewhere between 10 to 25% of those people will have a personal trainer. Very few health clubs have more than 25% of their members doing personal training, and very few have less than 10%. So if you're looking at how do I choose a health club to start my business, you're going to say, okay, they've got 5,000 members. Anywhere between 10 to 25% of those people are going to do personal training, and they've already got 15 personal trainers, or they've already got 25 personal trainers. And I'll give you the top end of the scale for those of you. I don't know any bigger than this one. Les Mills here in Victoria Street in Auckland has 12,000 members. They've got 100 personal trainers. So from a profit center, as you can imagine, if let's just say the average personal trainer is paying $200 a week rent, there's a nice profit center for Les Mills to rent space within their health club. So you can see why gym owners rent the space out, because it's a low hassle. They don't have to manage people. They don't have to get people to arrive on time and wear the uniform and all of those things, because these people are running their own business. They're just getting a set rental from each one of those people. But as you can see from an opportunity point of view, if there's 12,000 members and somewhere between 10 to 25% of those people are going to be doing personal training, there's a big market for you straight away. So you're going to have a look at how many members there are at the health club. Then ask yourself this question, or find out about the health club. Is it growing? Is it getting bigger and bigger, which means your market's going to get bigger? Or are they losing members because they're not very good at what they do? And either of those is really exciting, because if they're growing, there's going to be more members for you to train. If they're not doing a very good job and you come in and you're a top-level fitness professional, you arrive on time, you dress like a professional, you give great customer service and you help people get results and you treat people with respect and care, then you not only will you grow your own personal training business, you're actually going to grow their business for them. And that's when you have a lot of leverage. And I'll just use myself as an example. I've never run my personal training business outside of a health club. I've always run my personal training business exactly like this, inside somebody else's health club, but I've also never paid rent. Because when you're really good at what you do and you grow the business, you market the business, you bring more members to the business, and you can manage and lead the personal training team, you're actually helping the business grow. So I've never ever had to pay rent to run my personal training business. So the opportunity there is quite amazing. And for those of you who want to talk about that more at length as to how to do that, I'd love to do it. It'd be awesome. The next thing to have a look at is what kind of equipment do you want to have, and whether or not that gym or that health club's got the equipment that you want to be using. And again, there's two arguments to that. Some trainers say to me, oh, they've got all this dodgy, stupid equipment and I don't want to work there. And my thought space is the more dodgy, stupid equipment, the better, because then you'll really stand out from the crowd. Because if you're just giving people two or three exercises and their workout's only taking them 10 to 15 minutes and they're getting fantastic results, then you'll really stand out from a very busy crowd. So you just decide what kind of equipment do I need to have to run my business, and then find a facility that's got that kind of equipment. Because remember, if you're doing it this way, you don't have to buy the equipment. Opening times is interesting, and the reason I've got the Olympia picture up there is this health club is not 24 hours. It's in CBD Brisbane. They're closed on Sparkle Day Sunday, and I think closed at 10 o'clock at night. I think they open at 5 in the morning. It's really interesting, because the last time I had a sit-down conversation with a group of MAC students who are also Olympia members, they've joined Olympia and they pay their, I think, $20 or $25 a week membership. They've all got other memberships at other health clubs for $10 a week, so they can go at 3 o'clock in the morning, or they can go on a Sparkle Day Sunday. So be aware that there are some people that want to train 24 hours or want access to a 24-hour facility. And if that's your target market, then you'll need to be aware that you need to choose a health club that's 24 hours. The next one is have a look at the team that's already there. The quality of the team and the quantity, how many personal trainers are already working there. And once again, there's two ways to look at this. If they're really good fitness professionals, they're top level, they're really good at what they do, that means you're walking into a standard that's really high, which is awesome. You'll feel, if you're a top level professional yourself, you'll feel like you're part of the team and you'll be growing together. And the membership will grow because the quality of the service is so good, which means if there's 25% of people doing personal training, that will just, the numbers of people doing PT will just keep getting bigger. So that's awesome. The other flip side of that is if there's really bad personal trainers, and I have a lot of MAC students who say this to me as well, I can't go and work there because the trainers are so bad and they're so unprofessional and they're so poorly dressed and they don't wear a uniform and they don't shave and they do dodgy exercises. Well, to me, that's awesome because then it's really easy to stand out from the crowd. And I'll use Sarge as an example. If you go to most 24-hour franchise gyms, the personal trainers dress really poorly. They're wearing shorts and a singlet and they arrive late and they're a bit grumpy and just, and I know that's an overall generalization, but that's why Sarge has done so well, because you saw, I'll take you back to his picture at the start. This is not the uniform for Snap personal trainers. That's just how Sarge dresses. And it was interesting because when he went to the manager to start working there, they said, well, we don't dress like that. And he said, yeah, but this is how I dress. This is my standard of professionalism. I wear long corporate trousers, shiny black shoes and a polo shirt. And obviously he's made it really simple to stand out from the crowd. So that there's other students who've shared with me, they've gone to a Snap Fitness or a Jets or a Anytime, wanted to dress up as a professional and the manager hasn't let them. Now, just as a quick side note on that, those of you that are looking at managing people and or looking at applying for positions anywhere, Lisa and I chatted about this at the workshop in Christchurch. If you've got a manager at a health club who's not very good at what they do, they're not very professional themselves, and I call them a seven. So if 10's the top number of professionalism and they're only operating at a six or a seven, and you come along and you're a 10, they're not going to want to employ you. They're not going to want to have you on their team. They're not going to want to have you there as a personal trainer. They're going to tell you, we don't want you here. You're not good enough, or you're overqualified, or they'll come up with some excuse because that manager knows that you're going to make them look bad. If you're looking for the right place for you, be aware of that they're, if you're really good at what you do and you dress professionally, you arrive on time, you have professional standards and professional systems, the members will love you, but the other trainers will probably hate you. The other trainers will be now shown up. They'll be shown up as being unprofessional, as being not punctual, as not knowing their anatomy and physiology, and they won't want you there. So be aware when you're choosing which team you're going to go on to, that the quality of the team, if it's really poor, that's easy to stand out. But if it's a good quality team, then you'll have a great group of people around you. So it's a really interesting thing to think about when you're choosing the facility. From a quantity point of view, some MAC students have said to me, I want to go to a facility that hasn't got hardly any trainers because I want to get all the clients. Again, the flip side of that is there's lots of trainers who are really good at what they do. There's already a great culture of personal training, and that's where you'll have 25% of the membership doing personal training versus just 10%. If there's a whole stack of personal trainers but they're really bad, again, really easy for you to stand out. If there's 100 trainers and you go in there and they're all lazy and undisciplined and do dodgy exercises, don't dress well and arrive late, you will stand out so easily. So there is no downside for me here. You can share with me any scenario and I'll share with you there's an upside. Doesn't matter. Some people say, I can't go to that gym because it's old and dirty and grotty. Well, then you can go in there and clean it up and paint it and clean the equipment and clean the mirrors and make sure the toilets are clean. And again, you'll stand out from everybody else. So doesn't matter which facility you choose, you're going to be really good at it if you choose to be. The next one is the uniform. I just covered that a little bit already. Some clubs have a very strict uniform. You have to wear the uniform a certain way. However, if you've walked into any large health club lately, even if they do have a uniform, most of them don't wear it very well. It's either dirty or it's untucked or it's unironed or it's got little pilly white bits on it because it's overused, or their shoes are dirty, or they're unshaven, or there's all sorts of things going on with the uniform. So even if the club has got a uniform, if you're the person that wears the uniform the best, again, you're going to stand out from the crowd. Never ceases to amaze me, however, that there are many, many health clubs who don't care whether you wear a uniform or not, or you can wear your own uniform. So that might be a reason why you choose a particular facility, because you want to wear your particular uniform. And or even if they've got a uniform, you might have to do some negotiating like Sarge did, which was, I'm not going to wear shorts and a singlet because I wear corporate trousers and a polo shirt. So just make sure you know what the uniform is. There's lots of different pricing structures, and make sure that you're really clear and understand what's going on. So, for example, Olympia, I think it's up to 30 clients a week is a certain percentage. And once you go over 30 clients, it sways very heavily in your favor. So up to 30 clients, you get a much lower percentage of the personal training. Once you get more than 30 clients, you get a much higher percentage. The beautiful thing about that, though, is that you really don't need to do too much marketing. The people that join the club, G and Cleo will give you a client and off you go. You really don't have to do too much. So if you're scared about marketing, you don't know how to attract people into your business, you really don't know how to handle the whole marketing process, then working inside at somebody else's health club is absolutely awesome. And then if you specialize in a certain area and everybody knows that you're the specialist in that area, then you've got even more likelihood of getting clients. Now, there are very few health clubs, however, that do the percentage model. Most of them do the rent model. So they'll say to you, and as I shared, it's somewhere between $100 and $300 a week. Your first 4 weeks are for free. The next 4 weeks will be half. And then after that, so you've really got 8 weeks to grow your business before you have to pay your $100 to $300 a week rent, which I believe, by the way, is a tiny amount of money compared to not having to buy the building, not having to lease the equipment, and not having to do the whole infrastructure of setting up your own business. The last one's probably the most important, the philosophy of the company, of the owners of the facility. There are some things that you may not negotiate, that you may not want to put up with, that you don't want to have anything to do with. It might be a bodybuilding gym and they're selling steroids, or there's a few challenges now, some of my students have shared with me, with drugs being sold out of health clubs. They're the kinds of things that you want to find out what's going on before you sign a 12-month contract that you're going to rent space there for 12 months. You may want to surround yourself with really positive, happy people, and it's really important that that's what you're looking for. So spend some time in the club. I'll give you an example. Meghna, who was our accountant here from Auckland, she's gone to Melbourne. She's now at Fitness First in Melbourne. When I spoke to her last week, it was awesome. She said to me, first of all, she's a CPA accountant. She said, I'd rather jump off a building than be an accountant again. I said, how did you choose your health club? Because she's renting space at Fitness First in Flinders Street in Melbourne. And she said, I just went to all the health clubs in a 5 kilometre radius of my apartment, and I just walked in there as a client. So I said, can you show me around? And she said, I just got a feel for the facility. And when she found the one that she really liked, she went to the personal training manager and said, I'd like to be a personal trainer here. Interestingly, every other club that she went to, when they found out that she was a personal trainer, a fitness professional, they also offered for her to rent space there as well. So again, I'm going to go back to you are the customer. You're not applying for a job. You're not applying to be employed. You're the customer. They want to rent you space, which is really exciting. So very quickly, we're going to go through the process of how to be really successful once you've rented your space or once you've decided on your health club. As we all know, it's not about being a fitness professional. It's about being a great person. And all I'm going to ask now is that you become the nicest, kindest, most genuine, caring, knowledgeable, professional person that's ever walked into that health club. So if you've decided that this is the place that you want to run your business, then just be the best person possible. And that's not a hard process either, because most people aren't focusing on being great people. They're focusing on trying to sell personal training, or they're focusing on trying to pay their bills, or they're focusing on not having to go back to a job that they don't like. So they forget about the all-important quote, which is, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Become a really great person and people will want to invest time with you as well as invest money with you. So what do you need to do to stand out from the crowd so your business will grow? As we know, it's a really simple process. If there's 100 trainers, and I'll use that top level example, the 80-20 rule kicks in straight away. 20% of those trainers will be doing really well and 80% will be doing just enough to get by. If you talk to the people that are doing just enough to get by, and I'm sure you've met them all, they'll say there's too many trainers and too many, not enough clients and people cancel and you can't make enough money. Don't invest or waste time with those people. What they've just shared with you is not true. If a health club has got 500 members or 1,000 members or 12,000 members, doesn't matter, somewhere between 10 to 25% of those people will do personal training, and you just have to be the very best person that's ever walked into that health club. So standing out's really easy. obviously dress as a professional. Now, it's so easy to look different to every other fitness person because every other fitness person is wearing shorts and a t-shirt, they're unshaven, they've got tattoos, they've got dirty shoes, they're eating a protein bar, they're Facebooking while they're training their client, they're watching television, they're talking on the phone, they're not paying attention. For you to stand out, just to dress well is really simple. The next thing is you get to know everyone at the gym. So when you first go, remember you've got 4 weeks to grow your business because I've promised you that you can start your business with no money. So you've got 4 weeks to get enough clients so that you can live a life of abundance. So you remember we go back to how many hours do you want to play or work in your business and how much money do you want to earn? You divide the number of hours you want to work into the amount of money you want to earn, which will then determine how much you're going to charge. And that will then tell you, okay, I need to get 10 clients or 15 clients or 20 clients. Please do the exercise because a lot of personal trainers think, oh, I have to charge $60 or $80 because that's what everybody else is charging. You might find that you only need to charge $25 for what you want to do. This is not about somebody else. This is just about you. Now, once you've got that number, you've now got 4 weeks to get that number of clients. And it's such a simple process. I cannot share with you how easy this is. And it's so much easier than if you start your own business. Because if you start your own business, you've got to do the marketing. You've got to go and meet the people. You've got to do the happy mail. You've got to go and do everything. If you're in a health club, doesn't matter how many members there are, you just be there, be at the health club, get to know everyone, find out their names, find out what their goals are, find out about their life. I cannot share with you, and those of you that go to a health club, unless you go to somewhere like Tom Fit or Olympia where people seem to care about you, most health clubs you walk in and it's like you've got your invisible suit on. Nobody knows your name. Nobody cares about why you're there. Nobody knows whether or not you've even got goals, and they certainly don't know anything about your life. So if you don't have any clients, work out the hours that you want to be there and be there for those hours. And I'll give you a couple of really cool examples. If the gym opens at 5 or if it's a 24-hour facility, people will train at 5 o'clock in the morning. So be there at 5. Have a happy smiley face. Be dressed beautifully. Have coffee going. Have the music playing. Have the lights on. And congratulate and welcome people when they come to the gym. Most times when you go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning, the person opening the door is grumpy, they're tired, they wish they were still in bed. The lights have to get turned on and it's usually 5:15 instead of 5 o'clock. So be there when the people are there. Find out their names and remember their names. Find out what their goals are, which is a simple W questions process. And then remember everything that they've told you. So if you have to, go and write it down, put it in your iPad, put it on a file somewhere, but make sure that you know all the names of all the people that are coming to the facility. And just as a quick side note that I've never seen anybody do, and it worked brilliantly for me, as a gym instructor, I would just go around and talk to everybody on the gym floor, find out their names, find out their goals. And just before they left, I'd say to them, when are you coming back? When's your next workout? Now, I know that we do that with personal training, but I'm talking about everybody that comes to the club. So John says, yes, I'm coming back on terrific day afternoon at 4 o'clock. So I'll go to the computer screen, the booking sheet, and I'll book him back in. And I say, look, I'm going to be here then. I'd love to take you through your workout for a couple of sets. And congratulations that you got a job promotion today. This process is so easy because if he doesn't show up at 4 o'clock on Terrific Day Tuesday, you give John a call and you say, John, I missed you today. I was going to spend some time with you with your workout and you didn't come in. The reason it works so well is John's much more likely to come in if he knows that you're expecting him. And whether the club's got 500 members or 12,000 members, they don't all come at once. So you can do this process really simply on a day-to-day basis. I hope you're as excited as me. I'm peeing my pants with excitement because this stuff doesn't happen in any health club that I've ever been to, and it works so effectively. Now, I've got a picture of a Labrador for a reason because everybody loves Labradors and they're the most loyal, loving, beautiful, caring, gorgeous dogs on the planet. So I need you to be the Labrador at the health club. So be on time, which by the way is early. So if the health club opens at 5 in the morning, be there at 4:30. Turn the lights on, get the coffee going, get the music playing, make sure you're at the front door and meet people. If it's a 24-hour gym, be there at the times that you're going to have your business operating and be the most happiest person there. Welcome and congratulate everybody that comes to the gym. Most people find it really difficult. They've really had to psych themselves up to go to the gym. So if you're congratulating them, it makes them feel really special. Make sure you do the cleaning. 5% of people won't go to a facility if it's dirty. Now, 95% will, but you don't know the 5%. So make sure that you are visibly seen cleaning the gym, cleaning the mirrors, vacuuming the floor, filling up the toilet paper in the toilets, cleaning out the sinks in the toilets, cleaning the mirrors, doing everything that 5% of people will notice. And I promise you that 5% of people want to train with you just because you've given a damn about whether or not the gym's clean. And if you get that reputation of, oh, that's Roe, she's the new personal trainer, and she keeps the gym really clean. People don't tend to ring a facility anymore, but I don't know if you've been to a gym lately where the phone's rung. It usually either rings more than 3 times, which it never should, or the person that answers the phone's usually a bit grumpy or a bit rude. So take the responsibility of answering the phone. As I shared, book people in for their next workout. Be the most respectful, most beautiful, gorgeous person that's ever put 2 feet into that health club, and get the reputation of being a really caring person. So give compliments, ask questions. Don't be judgmental. A lot of my clients would say to me, Roe, I love coming to chat with you because I'm either a transgender, or I'm a Muslim, or I've got a real interesting political persuasion, or I'm a vegan vegetarian, or I only eat meat, and Roe, you never judge me by what I do. So one of the things that people really appreciate is not having to argue their point. If you are a vegan vegetarian, you don't want somebody to tell you to eat meat when you come to the gym. If you're a Catholic, you don't want somebody to tell you that you should be a Seventh-day Adventist. It's all about finding out what's important to people and listening to them talk rather than you teaching or preaching. And then the easiest way to grow your business is not with the people that are at the gym. It's the people that are not there anymore. Every single health club on this planet, unless they're brand new and they've only just opened, has a list of people that joined and don't come anymore, or they cancelled their membership. Now, you'll have access to that database, and the telephone call's really simple. Hi, I'm Roe. I'm the new fitness professional at Snap Fitness. I noticed that you joined our gym. Tell me why you don't come anymore. What happened? Tell me about that. When you were coming, what was your number one health and fitness goal? Is that still your goal? And then you just take them through the W questions. And if you have no clients, and by the way, you have 4 weeks to get your clients, be on the gym floor when there's people. And then when there's no people on the gym floor, get on the phone. And you could call 100 people every day. And it's a beautiful telephone call. It's not intimidating at all because you're asking the questions. And some of them will whinge at you and moan at you and get angry because the gym didn't get them the results that they wanted. And by the way, if they're talking to you, it means they trust you and they like you, and you can now book them in to come and see you to get a completely different experience than what they got before. One of the quickest ways to grow your business is with people that don't come to the gym anymore. Just give them a call and invite them to come back. And for a club that's got between 500 and 12,000 members, there will be literally thousands and thousands of people that you can call who aren't coming anymore. So it's really easy to stand out from the crowd. Most importantly, when you go to work in somebody else's business, too many of the personal trainers that I talk to in this world, it's all about the gym should be giving me. The gym should be finding me clients. The gym shouldn't be taking my $200 a week. The gym's not doing the right thing by me. The gym doesn't need to do the right thing by you. It's there already. It's already open. It bought the equipment. They've taken all the risk. When you go and work in somebody else's facility, the only risk that you have to take is that you have to step out of your comfort zone and talk to people and be the best, kindest, most beautiful person that's at the gym. I promise you from the bottom of my heart, this is an easiest way to start your business. There's no money required. It's easy to stand out from the crowd. You will grow your business really fast because you don't have to have any money for marketing. You just have to get on the phone and talk to people, or be on the gym floor and talk to people. And all you've got to do now really is find the right person or the right facility for you to be in. So I'm going to wrap all of that up. We'll go right back to the beginning. Do you want to start a fitness business? If you do, what's the best way for you to do it? And if you want to have your own facility and do it your way, Of course, we can help you do that. But if you really want to start your business and you don't have any money, there are hundreds and thousands of health clubs around the world that would love to take your $100, $200, $300 a week and give you access to their 500, 600, 1500, 12,000 members. Sounds pretty easy to me. What do you guys think? What do we think, guys? Hello? Is anybody excited besides me? Is anybody excited besides me?